You remember last Tuesday, we looked at a situation in the life of David where he was being pursued by the Philistines, or they'd come up against him to attack him, or to attack the city. And we looked at the fact that David, it says in the scriptures, in when we were looking at it, Samuel, that he went into what he called the stronghold. And we saw the need for that, going into that place where, that place of safety, that place of, the place where we can get close to God. And he sought God for direction and asked him if it was right that he should go and attack this enemy that had come up against him. God said, yes, and you go down and attack them, and you know, you're going to have victory, you're going to win. And while he was, while they were rejoicing at the victory, and it wasn't immediately, you know, that it was a week or so, a few weeks later, maybe even months, but, you know, they're getting over that one victory, the enemy came against them again. And that's one thing you see often with the enemy, you know, he won't give up, they'll keep on attacking. And we saw that David, each time that they came against him, he did the same thing. He went into the stronghold. He went to that place where he could seek God, and where he could hear from God. And he didn't assume that just because he'd attacked the enemy one way, that it was right to do it the same way. And that's a lesson for us in churches. You know, when we can get ourselves so easily into patterns, and when we say, well, this is the way we do it. And we do it this way. Why? Because, well, we've always done it this way. You know, particularly when it comes to prayer, and I think we said last week, and we drew from the illustration of Jesus, that Jesus healed some blind men came to Jesus. Many blind men. And we looked at three separate occasions where each time Jesus acted differently. You know, one, he made a clay in the ground, he spat in the ground and made a clay and rubbed it on his eyes. Another one, he just touched his eyes. Another one, he just told him to go seeing. You know, Jesus didn't do it the same way all the time. And we must learn that we don't necessarily do things the same. Just because it worked last week doesn't mean it's going to work this week. Because, we were saying that sort of thing. You know, God chooses how he works. We need to know what God's heart and purpose is for us. And that's what we learned from David. Now, he didn't assume. And on the second occasion, when the Philistines came, God told him, no, not to attack them. Don't attack them this time. He says, I want you to go up on the mountaintops and circle and spread out around them and wait until you hear the spirit in the treetops, you know, the Holy Ghost. Or the wind, the moving in the treetops. And when you hear the wind, it says you can go because you know that God's gone before you to attack your enemies. Now, tonight we're going to just, along similar lines to that, we're going to look at another two men. And I want to show you that I was waiting on God today and this afternoon, just looking at this. You see, it happens this way many times in the scriptures. And it's still thinking about coming to that place where we seek God and we hear from God before we do what he wants us to do. And in the second book of Kings, chapter 2, I want to read to you the first 15 verses. They're not short verses, but I think we need to read them so we get the picture of what's going on here. It says, it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now Elijah was the prophet of God, and Elisha was his assistant, if you like. You know, Elijah had been told by God to anoint Elisha as prophet, who was going to take over from him when Elijah went. And this is the reading we're taking. You know, Elijah's about to go up into heaven. And Elijah and Elisha leave this place called Gilgal. And it says, then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha. And they said to him, don't you know that the Lord's going to take your master away from you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Or if you want it in the way we do today, yeah, I know, no, shut up. You don't need to tell, you just be quiet. I don't want to hear what you're saying. I know he's going to go. He says, Then Elisha said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha. And they said to him, don't you know that the Lord's going to take your master away from you today? And so Elisha answered, same thing, yeah? Yeah, I know, yeah, shut up, keep quiet, be still, be silent. So there's a lesson there, you know, it's not always good to hear what people say, especially when you're seeking God for something. You can have, it's all right to have advice, but if you're trying to seek God, you need to shut out all other voices so you can focus on what God's saying. And sometimes it might sound harsh or sound rude, but sometimes it's necessary. You know, I need you to be quiet. I need to hear what God's saying. And, you know, I need, perhaps I don't have to say that to the person, but, you know, it's the spirit that's trying to distract from what you need to. You need to tell it to be quiet. You know, Elijah said to him, stay here. This is at Jericho. Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me onto the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, that's his cloak. He rolled it up and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, Ask what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you. So Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces, or into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. And he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Amen. You know, there we have an interesting account where Elijah knows that his time's coming, he's going to be taken into heaven. You know, this is the way to go into heaven. You know, it's a... all too often nowadays, you know, we're confronted with people dying because of some disease they've got, or some sickness, you know, and it kills them. And that's God never intended us for to go to heaven or to die that way. You know, now not everybody's going to go up to heaven in a chariot of fire like Elijah did. You know, but It is possible that we can just run out of breath and just decide that today's the day we're going to stop breathing and go on to be with the Lord. And this was truly an amazing event in Elijah's life. You know, to see these fiery chariots come down out of heaven and, you know, Elijah get on board and be whisked away. You know, that would have been some sight. And here, because Elijah knew this was going to take place, that he was going to go. And he took Elisha with him. Now, Elisha was his assistant. Elisha was the one that God had told him to anoint as a prophet. There was an occasion in Elijah's life where he was feeling very low. Just after a great victory, he just called the fire down from heaven and it had burnt up the sacrifice. And the wicked queen, Jezebel, said that she was going to have his life. She was going to kill him. And he ran from her, fearful and afraid. And, you know, he went before God. He hid for 40 days in sort of the wilderness and hid in a cave. And after those 40 days, God appeared to him and said, Elijah says, what are you doing here? You know, what do you think you're doing, man? He says, that's my translation. Now, what do you think you're doing? Why are you hiding here? You know, there's work to be done. And God took him out and spoke to him and showed him the... God passed before him, there was an earthquake, there was fire, there was wind, and a still small voice. And God revealed himself to Elijah. He says, come on, Elijah. He says, there's work to be done. You know, no good you sort of having a pity party and sort of feeling sorry for yourself. You know, I want you to go, and there was three, he says, I want you to go and anoint Elisha as prophet. Go and anoint Hazael as king. I don't know which way around it is. One's king of Syria, and Jehu, I think he's king of Israel. So there's three men that Elijah had to anoint, and he said, come on, Elijah, he says, there's work to be done, let's go. So this is the man, Elisha, that he's been anointed as prophet. And they leave in a place called Gilgal. And they came down to a place called Bethel. Now when they get to Bethel, you know, these three places, Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, they're all places where there were what we call the school of the prophets. So the place where Elijah had often gone, and he, you know, as he'd gone into the place, he taught and trained up these young men who were going to be prophets of God. It's like a little school there, you know, where he went in and he taught them and he looked after them. He'd visit them regularly, speak to them, share with them. And, you know, they were doing very well. You know, they were hearing God speaking, and they were God was showing them things. And as Elisha and Elijah came down to Bethel, the sons of the prophets who were there at Bethel came out to Elisha and says, look, obviously God had shown this to them as well. That he says, your master's going to be taken from you today. Why don't you stay here with us? You know, as we said, Elisha says, look, he says, I know that. I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to take place. You know, just be quiet. Don't try and distract me. I've got a purpose, something I've got to do. You know, at Bethel, it's a place, well, Bethel speaks of a place of seeking God. And that's a little bit like what we saw last week, David. He went down into the stronghold. He went to the place where he could seek God before when the Philistines came up against him. And whenever we're facing anything in our life, be it, you know, we all face things. We all face change. Some of it good, some of it not so good. Some of it's forced upon us. Some of it we elected by ourselves. You know, we choose to change. We might choose to move home or something like that, or We might choose to buy a new car. We might choose to get a new job. Now, if we're choosing that, then that's fine, that's good. But sometimes this change is thrust upon us. They might turn around and say, well, but as of next week, you know, we can no longer afford to keep you on at work. So you're out of a job. And you think, well, it's not so good. It's forced upon you. You don't know what to do. It might be change, serious change, you know, in your life, where something like you lose a loved one. Like somebody goes home to be with the Lord and you're left. And you think, well, why has this happened? You know, it's something that comes upon. Well, when these things come upon us, these are the steps we should take. We should be like Elisha, we should be like David. We should go and we should seek God first of all. You know, what is it, God, you want to show me? You want to speak to me? You know, in Bethel is the place of seeking God. Actually, the name Bethel means house of God. And I want to read an account in the scriptures, in the book of Genesis, about Jacob. In Genesis 28, verse 10, it says this. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Jacob had just deceived his father, cheated his brother, and he didn't feel welcome at home. And he wouldn't be, you know. You know, he just deceived his father into giving him the blessing, cheated his brother out of his birthright. And his mother said, look, you better go and visit your uncle. Get out of here, you know, spend a few years away, you know, until things have calmed down a bit. So he leaves his home and says he's leaving Bishop, he's going out towards Haran where his relatives lived. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and it reached, its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he put at his head and set it up as a pillar. He poured oil on top of it and he called the name of that place Bethel. And Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, to give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. So there at Bethel, Jacob met with God. He had that vision of the angels coming out of heaven. You know, at Bethel, it's a place where we should seek God. You know, so when we're about to face change, whatever it is, or we're facing an uncertain situation, or we're facing something in our life which we don't really know quite what's the next step to do, we should come to Bethel. Come to the place where we can seek God. Come to, when I say come to the house of God, I don't necessarily mean come to the church, but we get into that place where, alone with God, we can come before Him. You know, I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. I've proved this over the years. But whenever I'm facing something I'm not sure about, or even something in my life, I think, well, I know that's not quite right. I find myself a quiet little spot. Shut myself away in a room and just seek God. You know, God has a way of ministering to the situation when we set ourselves apart to seek Him. You know, we haven't got time tonight, but we have to go through the scriptures, look at all these men and women that did exactly the same thing. They're facing something, they wanted direction, they wanted to know what God was wanting for their life. They were facing perhaps a change of king, or they're facing an enemy that's coming out against them. They went and they sought God. And they got before God in that place of seeking Him. Jacob met with God at Bethel, and at Bethel, Elisha was encouraged to seek God. I'm sure he did. You know, he knew what he wanted from God. He said, look, he said, I'm sticking with my brother. That's why he told him, don't have to tell me to stay here. I know what I'm doing. I'm going on. So Elijah said to him, look, he said, why don't you stay here in Bethel? He says, because I've got to go down to Jericho. I've got to move on. And he said, look, he says, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I'm not going to leave you. And the two of them together went down to Jericho. Now in Jericho there was another school of prophets, and they came out and they said to Elisha, don't you know exactly the same thing? Don't you know that the Lord's going to take your master away from you today? He says, yes, I know. He says, you know, keep silent, be quiet. And there's a lesson there, you know, if God's speaking, He says the same things to everybody. You know, you'll find that it might not be exactly the same words, but He'll be showing what He shows one, He'll be showing another at the same time. Because that's the way He directs. You notice here the school of the prophets in Bethel, they knew that God had shown them that Elijah was going to be taken. The prophets in Jericho, they had the same word from God. Now God doesn't change His mind. Now He speaks, He's consistent. You know, if it's His message that He wants to be made known, He'll be telling everybody the same thing. Now it might not be exactly the same words, it might not be in the same way, but He'll be showing pretty much the same thing, the same theme. And you'll find that, you know, when you get together sometimes at meetings, when you come together at a meeting, you know, somebody will preach a word, and say, yeah, that's exactly what God's been showing me in the week. Or it'd be along the same sort of thing. It's a verse would be read and say, well, yeah, that's what I was reading. Or that's what God was showing me. And that's, you'll see how it all comes together and how God's showing everybody the same thing. I like it when you go to these conferences and things, and you have like four or five different speakers. And independently, you know, each one has sought God for the message that they're to bring to the conference. And you find that when they actually come and they bring the word, it flows so sweetly. You know, one message goes into the next. And it's because they took the time to seek God, and God knows what He's doing. So He shows one thing, He shows one something else. He might show them different things, but when they all come together, He gets His message across to the church. But I digress, I didn't mean to go on to that. But they came down to Jericho. Now Jericho, you know Jericho, because Jericho was the place that Joshua marched around and the walls fell down when he gave a great shout. But Jericho is known as the city of palm trees. It's located in the lush, beautiful plains of Jordan. It was the same place that Lot lifted his eyes when Abraham said, look, he said, you choose where you want to go. And Lot looked up and he saw all the green fields, he saw the trees, he saw how beautiful it looked. And he said, I want to live there. It's the same place, in a beautiful place, known as the City of Palm Trees, or known as the fragrance of God. Jericho, a beautiful place. It's like it's not really that desert area. It's on the banks of the River Jordan, and it gets a lot of moisture from out of the river. But Jericho was like an oasis in the desert, a place of refreshment. You know, when you've come to the place of seeking God, you need to come to Jericho. It's important that when you take time to go to Bethel, that you go down to Jericho. Why? Because Jericho talks about hearing from God. Yeah, you take the time to seek Him, to meet with Him, but you need to hear Him. You need to hear what He's saying. And David knew this, because in the Psalms, he says this in Psalm 1. He says, look, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, he says, he delights in hearing what God has to say. And then in his law, he meditates day and night. And the person like that, the person who longs for the word of God, he says, that person is like a tree who's planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The tree planted by the rivers, that's Jericho. Jericho was a city of trees planted by the river. You know, that talks about hearing from God. You know, we've got to hear from God. We've got to know what God is saying. Too often, and I know in our services perhaps we don't always get the time, because we're restricted to our time, because we have to be in and out. But, you know, it's important that when we come together, that we make time to hear from God. You know, too often we've rushed through a program, or we're trying to get through a service, and we don't always tend to wait just to hear the Lord speaking to us. But it's important that we hear what God says. So when we come to God on ourselves, and we take time to seek Him, we meet with Him. If we're going to go through all the bother of meeting with God, at least let's wait and listen to what He has to say. Hear from Him. Now we hear from God in many different ways. We hear through His Word. You know, we hear through the inner witness of our spirit, and that's another sort of sermon in itself. But we take time to hear from God. You know, in the New Testament, it talks about being washed with the Word of God. You know, water always talks about the Word of God in the Scriptures. Well, I say always. You know, it's one of the things that God uses. He uses water to describe the Word. You know, planted by the rivers of water is the person that hears God's Word, and, you know, he's listens to what God says, and is prosperous, and, you know, not withering and bringing forth fruit. You know, like a tree planted by the rivers. You know, so that's Jericho. We've been to Bethel, we've sought God, come down to Jericho, where we're making sure we're hearing from God. And finally, in the Scriptures, shut the book up. We come down to Jericho. And here it says, Elijah says to Elisha, he said, I want you to stay here at Jericho, because the Lord sent me on to the Jordan. But Elisha says, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And they go down to the Jordan, the river. And as they get to the river, the edge of the river, Elijah takes his mantle, his priestly, his robe, It's the sign of his prophetic office, you know, the thing he wore, like a coat. He rolled it up and he hit the water with it. And the water parted, just like it did for Moses, when Moses stretched out his rod over the Red Sea. You know, and the water divided so that they crossed over on dry ground. You know, and the Jordan always talks about crossing over. We use the terminology in a lot of the songs we sing and the hymns, and we talk about Jordan as being death. You know, that place where we cross over from this life into the next. You know, you'll hear a lot of the songs say, you know, when we've crossed the River Jordan, you know, when we've gone to our land, bright and fair. It talks about crossing over. Or in other words, we could say we're facing a situation, we don't know what to expect, we don't know which way to turn. It might be change, it might be something else that's come up against us. But we've sought God about the situation. We've heard his word. Now it's time to cross over the Jordan and move on. And embrace what God has shown us and what God has dealt with us. Now the word Jordan literally means to descend, to come down. And the River Jordan is about 250 miles long. It starts up in the mountains of Hermon, right up in the north of the country of Israel. And it flows down the mountain into a couple of lakes through the Sea of Galilee, right down to the Dead Sea. It drops down from a height right down to well below that 400 meters or so below sea level. You know, it drops a long way, the descent of the river. And it's a place where here we read that Elijah and Elisha crossed over. Now while those on the other side of the Jordan, Elijah says to Elijah, he says, what do you want from me? What is it you actually want? And this is what Elijah had heard, must have had this from God. He says, look, I want a double portion of your spirit. He says, what's on you? He says, I want a double portion. And as he says, well, he says, if you see me when I'm taking, he says, you can have what you ask for. But if you don't see me, then you won't have it. And as they were talking, these chariots came down from heaven, whisked Elijah up, and Elisha watched everything that happened. You know, and the mantle fell from Elijah, and Elisha got hold of it. It fell from Elijah, and Elisha got hold of it. And he went back to the River Jordan. He says, where's the God of Elijah? And as he did exactly what Elijah did. He rolled it up and he struck the water. And what happened is the river parted. And he crossed over again. And he went on. God was with him. God had anointed him. Now in the Jordan, it's a place of crossing. It's a place of going forward and moving on with God. Last week we saw David, he had to seek God. He went to the stronghold. He heard from God what God told him. He said, don't go down against the enemy. Wait until you hear the sound from heaven. And he says, when you hear the sound from heaven, he says, go forward. You know, cross over. In other words, cross over. It's time to advance. You know, Jordan, it's interesting. You know, the name means descending. Or to descend. And at Jordan, Elijah's mantle descended. You know, the Spirit of God came upon Elisha. It was at Jordan that the Spirit of God came upon Jesus when he was baptized. And baptism always talks about crossing over as well, doesn't it? When you're baptized, you cross over. It's a sign that you're crossing over from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. Yeah, it's not when you actually cross over, because when you go from sin to life, or from death to life, when you go from sin into righteousness, or come from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God, you do that when you believe on the Lord with your heart. But really all baptism is just an outward show that this is what's happened to me. You know, I've crossed over from one kingdom into the next. I'm now no longer a child of Satan, I'm a child of God. I'm no longer dead to sin, but I'm alive to God. It's a sign that you've crossed over. And that's what baptism is. You know, John baptized Jesus at Jordan. It was a place of crossing over. And from Jordan, Jesus went on. And he began his ministry. He didn't do anything until he came to Jordan at that point. Spent all those years seeking God as a boy, hearing. Yeah, we know he was God, but he still had to seek God. He still had to study the Word of God. But there came a point when the seeking and the hearing became time to go forward, launch out into what God's called you to do. So if we're facing something we don't know, something perhaps we don't even like, you know, God spoke to us. I brought this just to read it as we finish. God spoke to us about 18 months ago, and I put it in the bulletin for this month. Just want to remind you, this is the word of God that came to us in a time of prayer, one Sunday night, I believe it was, back in July 2009. Said that God is going to do a new thing. Something new, that's change. We don't know what it is, but it's going to be change. It will be of the spirit, but will not be confined to the spiritual, for it will affect the natural. So it's not going to be confined to the spirit. It's going to have its effect in the natural, the things that we see. Now, we might not know what it is. It says many will not like what is going to happen. But we are to know that it comes from God. That's what God spoke to us. Right? I can tell you. Now, a lot has happened in that time. God's done some new things. One of the things is we moved here. Out of Gorfield, because that was spoken in Gorfield, when we was in Gorfield one Sunday night. Things have happened. Perhaps some haven't liked what's always happened. Maybe there's still things to come that God's going to do, which a lot of people won't like, because when God moves, people get agitated, because he stirs up, you know, the things that are not right amongst us. But then he does it so that he can perfect us. He stirs up things. We look at our life and, oh no, that's not right. I've got that in my life. That's not good. And God deals with it. He takes it out. But what he does tell us is it's when it happens, this new thing. Yes, it's not just going to be spiritual, but it's going to be a natural thing as well. So something's going to take place in the natural, in the physical. But we're to know that it comes from God. So he says we're to know that. That it comes from God. So we're not to be afraid of it, but we're to embrace it because it comes from Him. In other words, we seek God, we hear God, and then we go forward and embrace what God has shown us. Just like this man did here, this Elisha. He sought God at Bethel. He heard God at Jericho. And at the Jordan, he went on and began to fulfill what God had shown him. So let's take encouragement from David, as we heard last week, from Elijah and Elisha this week. And you know, there's many more through the scriptures. You know, you see the same thing in the life of Moses. We see it in Joshua. We see it in King Jehoshaphat. I'm trying to think who else there is. Also, we see it in the life of Jesus. But we see it in the life of lots of them. Paul, they come to the point where they have to seek God. They hear from God. And then they do something with what God has shown them. They go on and move on. And that's the way we're to be. So if we don't know what to do, we don't like what's going on, let's take that. Seek God. Hear from God. And then do what God tells you to do. Amen. That's what I think.